So if you have notepad ready, highlighter, pen, we'll take a few notes here as we prepare ourselves for today. And let's read a few verses to warm up. All right, let's read something out of 1 Corinthians. And before we get to the book of Ephesians, we'll continue on in there, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read a few verses right here as we're waiting for the rest of the saints to come in. Here's something out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Okay, in other words, the kingdom of God isn't established just in the text, but of course it's in the anointing, in this power. Now, absent the power, the knowledge stands in itself, but with the power, it connects us to God. So I'll say that again. Absent the power of this anointing, the knowledge itself is severed from the Godhead. It stands alone. But with the anointing, it's connected to the throne of God. It's connected to God. And we can see this in an example concerning Satan quoting scripture and Jesus quoting scripture. The Satan quoted scripture, which was severed from the Godhead, so the knowledge stood alone, because the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But when Jesus quoted the scripture, it stood in power, because he spoke as by the anointing. It was joined to the Father. So that's in 1 Corinthians 4:20, if you want to make a note on that. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's just not in the text. The knowledge of the text brings a certain awareness, but it's the power that brings the experience of that awareness. You also have 1 Corinthians 4:20. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Paul goes on and says, now he's providing contrast, and we'll be talking more about the contrast in our study today. Now in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, he says, know ye not the unrighteous not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteousness has to do with that, those that are less than his light, those which are not standing to God's standard, less than the light. Anything that's less than light is called shame. So Satan inherited that name, shame, or that which is born of iniquity, because of his rebellion against God. It was less than light. That which Satan was offering God was less than God himself. So know ye not, the unrighteous not inherit the kingdom of God, where our inheritance, again, stands within the tokens. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God, nor the tokens that save. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, nor the tokens that save. So he says, be not deceived, not anything that which is of the flesh. And he calls about fornicators. That means unfruitful contact. The tokens of this world are unfruitful for the kingdom of God. It's unfruitful contact. So he calls them the fornicators, nor idolaters, which is replacing, like substitution. It's replacing Christ with other tokens, okay, which don't profit the soul, nor adulterers. Those which are including something. They're including something, but also bonding with them. The false tokens. They're adulterers. And also the effeminate. That which doesn't represent Christ in perfection. And they're effeminate. And Paul goes on here. Nor abusers themselves with mankind. Which has to do with self-injury. An example, physical flagellations. Okay, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Nothing to obtain by force, shown here at the kingdom of God. So here Paul enumerates for us these false tokens. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that use the tokens of this world, okay, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or you could say the tokens of his mercy. The tokens of his mercy are provided for us to motivate us and also to expand the soul. We'll be talking more about that as you see in the illustration there. Let's read on here. And then Paul goes on, he says, such were some of you. So he's providing again the contrast, but now you're washed. So you're washed in this prayer. You're washed in prayer by the knowledge of the word. Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now you're justified. Which has to do with this process is completed by the token of this covenant, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful for me, or unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The all things which you just enumerated right here. The tokens of this world only work with the letter of the signature of man. The tokens of God work with the record of Christ. And by these things we are washed. Our baptism is this baptism of knowledge. And by this baptism of knowledge, we are joined to him as in prayer. Because sanctification has to do with God separates us from the world to himself. And by these things we're justified, which means we're free from the judgments, okay, of the letter. Okay, the judgments of the letter are for those of the law. Now, those of the law which are those which walk according to the flesh, or according to the counsel of this world. And we'll read more about that in Ephesians chapter 2. The counsel of this world or by the powers of the air. So he says here, but you were washed, sanctified, and justified. This knowledge is our holy baptism, okay, which God uses to separate us from the world to himself and frees us from the condemnation of that law in the name of our Lord Jesus. Okay, that is by the tokens which he has sanctified in himself, which he provided for us in this covenant. And by this covenant, the sanctification comes by his assistance, the assistance of his anointing, the spirit that works righteousness in us. These are things which are lawful. All these tokens are lawful for us. Lawful, which means they stand to his expectation, because Christ is our expectation. All things are lawful unto me, Paul says, but all things are not expedient, because Paul has given distinction between the unclean and the clean, the holy and the profane, as also Chief Elder John brings out in Revelation, regarding he that is unjust and being just still, he is filthy than filthy still. He is righteous being righteous still, and he that is holy than be holy still. Okay, and he says, behold, I come quickly to reward every man according to his work shall be. So we see two different kinds of works. Okay, the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. But he says that the works of the flesh, I'm not going to be brought under these powers, because we're joined to Christ. And of course, Paul brings it out in verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. If we're one spirit, there's no transgression. The transgression would be concerning a void between us, okay, or like a valley or a void, okay, or a crevice, a division. But we're joined to him, which means that there no division exists between our soul and Christ's soul. No division exists because we're tethered to him by that anointing. All right, let's read some other verses here before we got about a minute to go. I'm going to read something out of the Testament of Asher. The Testament of Asher, as you would the Testaments of the Patriarchs here, the things which they wrote down when they went into Egypt. Okay, they had access to papyrus, they had access to oil, and or ink, you could say. And here they wrote a testament. They wrote a testament, each wrote a testament for their tribe, which was compiled together, called the Testament of the Patriarchs. Okay, and there they testified regarding the revelations which they received and their father Jacob received, and the history of conflict in Canaan, okay, as well as also the hope that set before them, things to come, the revelations which they had received. And here Asher says this in last days, until the Most High shall visit the earth, coming himself as man with men, eating and drinking, and breaking the head of the dragon in the water. Of course, that's the water of this dimension. Because Jesus also did at the feast turn water into wine. And as he would eat and drink with the publicans and sinners. But here we can see he would come in the form of flesh. So the Spirit of the Lord was revealing to Asher here when he was penning these things, in regarding the first presence of the Messiah, that which is born of the Virgin, in comparison to that a second presence of the Messiah, when he establishes his reign on the earth during the millennium. And he also talked about new heavens and new earth. Until the Most High shall visit the earth, coming himself as man, with men, eating and drinking, and breaking the head of the dragon in the water. He shall save Israel and all the Gentiles. And right there, in the earliest writings, we can see that the gospel wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. It was for all races and all people. He shall save Israel and all the Gentiles. God speaking in the person of man. And that's the Testament of Asher. And that was in chapter 1. And we're going to get started here. Have your notepad ready, your highlighter, your pen. You're ready to take some notes as you prepare your sacrifices for the conclusion of the assembly today. Now, you can see in the illustrations there on Facebook, you can see in the illustrations regarding this plan concerning the expanding of the soul. Okay, and that these things were determined by our Father before the world was created. Okay, and these things were determined before anything came into existence regarding the initiating of this plan. That means preparing all these souls. Trillions of souls, okay, would bear witness to this, to the presentation of our Lord with this knowledge in the bosom of our Father before all these souls okay, which are eternal in nature, were put into physical things and restricted in nature. Eternal beings were put into restricted vessels, okay, which brings, you could say, a conflict. It brings a conflict and restriction. We were not created for the purpose of restriction. We were created for the purpose of being as God himself. This was his plan, that he would produce an offspring, having been tested to meet his expectations, to carry on his divine tradition and dimensions, which are yet to be revealed in our Father's bosom. Billions and billions of dimensions, just like the brain itself has billions and billions, okay, of like neutrons, okay, or these powers that work within it in order to carry memory, working with the soul working with the conscience and the divine power, okay, in order to bring about God's plan. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, okay, so we're going to get started here. Let's start with verse 23 of the previous chapter, which of course be chapter 1, where he says, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. This is the power that joins us to him, as a wife is brought to her husband, as Eve was brought to Adam. Eve was removed and then returned. We were removed and were returning to him. Eve was removed and returned to Adam. We were removed and returned to our Father's bosom, from the bosom to the bosom. So the Lord put the symbolism within the rib of Adam, removing her from his side as from his bosom, to show this comparison that we also were created from the Father's bosom to return to the Father's bosom for the increase of mating, mating with knowledge. Okay, we are knowledge-born creatures, okay, of his creation as the angels. Angels are knowledge-born. We are knowledge-born. Adam was knowledge-born. Adam, before the fall of his transgression, okay, was above the angels, knowledge-born. Angels, okay, were subject to him, and they were conversant with him. Okay, which means he could see them, and right, he could communicate to them, and they also communicate to him, being subjection to Adam, who was assigned by God to be the second angel. That means to be over this dimension. And as history goes, he forfeited that by false knowledge, and now is living under the false priesthood of Satan. The priesthood was to provide substance for the stewardship, as the wife is to provide for the husband. Okay, and of course, Paul brings these things out, even as the church brings forth substance for the kingdom of God to our Lord Jesus Christ, through the priesthood which he has ordained in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, which is his body, the fullness of him. Okay, so I can highlight the word fullness right there, all powers of his throne. All powers of his throne is for our faith, because our faith needs these things in order to seal our redemption. To seal our redemption, these are things which he proposed in himself. Okay, we see that in chapter 1, verse 9, which he has proposed in himself. A mystery would unfold through this form of contact. Outside the contact, the mystery continually exists. But in contact with him, the mystery, or the veil of this mystery, is lifted. Even as a fog lifts by the heat of the day, it's lifted. But in a cool morning, okay, it settles upon the ground. Okay, we can see when the sun rises and the heat of the sun lifts this fog, so also the Son of Righteousness arises within our heart to lift that mist which is upon our understanding. Okay, in lifting this mist now we can see clearly the mystery which he has provided. Okay, and this mystery has to do with whose names are written in Lamb's Book of Life. The consenters, their names written in Lamb's Book of Life. Because we're partaking of that one thing, of this one power, that is of his throne, which is his body. So he talks about the church. He gave all things. He put all things under his feet, gave them to be head over all things to the church. This is the governor's plan of those that consent, being now joined to the Father by faith in Jesus Christ, by this power. So which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now we can see the portions were put within the design of the tabernacle, that first tabernacle. Our Lord, in his wisdom, provided physical tokens in portions that would point to his fullness. From the construction of the tabernacle, the dimensions of it, the tokens which should be used concerning the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of sacrifice, the bath for washing. Okay, so we got fire and water in Revelation concerning the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the second veil, the holiest of all. which also represents the spirit, the soul, the body. The tabernacle was made of the skin of the animal, which also we are covered with flesh, which is that which reflects that of the beast of the field, because that which requires food and water is considered that of the beast of the field. Now Adam, while in the garden, had no need, so therefore he never tasted that water. So he had no need of water, he didn't taste the water. He had no need of food, so he didn't partake of the food. He had no need for that. So the temptation had to do was in regarding the loss of that priesthood, the loss of Eve. Okay, he partook of it because he didn't want to lose her, knowing that as the warning went, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Okay, in other words, your conscience would become darkened and your soul would be separated from my throne. And you would be put into another form of restriction, a great restriction, because your light would now turn into darkness. But now Christ has come, and those that sit in darkness have seen a great light, which means a transition took place and reverse of the curse happened, beginning first in the conscience, the spirit, the soul, the body, and the redemption of the body, okay, awaits us. Okay, now in chapter 2, hey, we go on here. And you has he quickened. See the word quickened right there? You might want to highlight that, which means to make alive. We were made alive by this anointing. You which are in this body, his body. You which are in his body has he quickened, which made alive by the anointing, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This was the curse of the flesh. The curse of the flesh exists in Adam, in Adam's fall, in the transgression. But our genealogies were changed by our adoption by God through his son Jesus Christ. Of course, Paul brings that out as concerning this adoption. Because now by this adoption, we are joined to him, becoming as sons of God. Of course, Chief Elder John brings it out. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God. Okay, it does not yet appear we should be, which means you are still in the form of the flesh. But you shall receive another power, which has to do with a covering of righteousness. Okay, a covering of righteousness is as clean white linen, the righteousness of the saints. And then this, it does not yet appear we should be. We know that when he shall appear, and providing not only the tokens, but himself, in that time frame, and dispensation of fullness of times, we shall see him as he is. And you has he quickened. So in my height to wear quickened, the earth to make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. The trespasses has to do with that. These were the offenses. The offenses had to do with you did not remain within the restrictions of faith. Adam did not remain in the restrictions of faith, so he trespassed against the Lord. Okay, in other words, he went beyond the boundaries. And when he went beyond the boundaries, he transgressed. Okay, in other words, he resourced false knowledge. He resourced the false knowledge through that which was the counsel of his wife, Eve. She was in the transgression. Adam was in the transgression. She was in the transgression. But by receiving it and eating it, he was affirming and confirming her that what she had done, what he would consider what she had done, okay, would have to be acceptable to him, or else he would lose her. She was in a transgression, okay, and therefore the priesthood bore a curse. Her priesthood bore a curse, and we can see this in the curses which he brought forth, as concerning the desire for her husband, okay, would be changed. A conflict would exist. Because of that, where there was no separation, okay, and no conflict existed, being in the light, now a barrier was put there called flesh. And a conflict now existed as concerning, you see, the desire and direction. Because he would now have to be provided for her needs, and she also be provided for his house. Her love towards him would be now for the purpose of the flesh. And of course his love towards her, of course, would be provisions of the flesh. And these things were cursed because they're of the soil. So this is what he brings out right here. And we're dead in trespasses and sins. Of course, the dead was what they bore the curse for this offense, which Jesus now reversed. And these experiences now provided an evil root. An evil root. These were things which were brought out in the preaching of John. Now that the axe is laid to the root of the trees. As Jesus also brings out, that which my Father has not planted should be plucked up. In other words, he was speaking to the religious elite of that time. You are as a weed planting yourself in my garden, and I'm plucking you out of my garden. You are choking the wheat. You are choking the wheat, and I'm plucking you out of my garden. So the axe is laid to the root of these trees. These are evil trees. So you're dead in trespasses and sins. Of course, we talk more about that concerning these evil roots. Okay, where in time past you walked. This was your form of activity. Your force of life, which is a God code, the God code being your force of life, would pursue these things which were temporal. The things which are temporal work with the letter of your own signature. Working with the letter of your own signature would blind you towards concerning that which is the true record. The true record of our soul is Jesus Christ. He is the one that's remaking us, being born of Him, and putting on Christ. Where in time past, he says, you walked. This was your force, the force of your God code. According to, see the word according again. This word according again has to do with that which is identifying and agreeing to a higher authority. Identifying or agreeing to that higher authority. Your progression of life was in agreement to those things which were sympathetic to the flesh. And of course, we read about those things out of 1 Corinthians and regarding these powers, these forces. These powers and these forces began to mold your perception. And that the children of Satan, the reason why they call the children of Satan, is because they have the perception of the prince of darkness. Okay, the prince of darkness is the father of that house. And Jesus brought that out. You're of your father the devil, and his works you will do. Your perceptions are molded by the aspiration, the imagination. They're sustained by your religious principles. And therefore, there's war. Okay, there's warring in your own members. And there's famine in the land. And there's pestilence among the people. As Jesus went about healing the people, showing that through the stewardship and the refuge of the stewardship, that the healing of the soul would take place, the mending of that false knowledge. The false knowledge would be rent, and again, they become anew. And of course, we can see that in the examples concerning the rending of the garments. And that's why the fringe was put on the end of the garment, okay, and regarding its progression and also its rending. And so we can see that in Jesus' sacrifice. One was rendered, but the other was not. Which shows, of course, the eternal priesthood. You can't rend the eternal priesthood from Him, the Redeemer of our soul. Where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, which is the path of your own letter, which would be a letter of rebellion. The course of this world. And then he says, according to, again, which has to do with that, which is the higher authority. Where is this higher authority? Who has this higher authority? Where in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That was a higher authority. But there's authority higher than him. The power of the air. So I like the word power there. The prince of the power of the air, which means he is the sowing and point of contact for mating. The sowing and point of contact for mating. He's the sowing of the tares. The sowing of the tares. He's the power, okay, of the sowing of the tares. He was a point of contact for the expressions of iniquity, envy and strife and malice and bitterness, and wrath, as well as also that which is the spiritual influence, as well as also the physical effects, as concerning the murder, the fornication, the adultery, war, you know, whatever it is, that which is of the flesh. So we can see the spirit, the soul, and the body were affected by the tethering of this iniquity, whose roots were in the Father called Satan. And he was the tree of unrighteousness. The tree of unrighteousness bears branches that are unfruitful as poison berries. As a bush, see, a bush of poison berry bears poison berries. Okay, as also a fruit tree, okay, which is beneficial for that which is good, and the poison berries are beneficial for that which is not good. So where in time past you walked, according to these things, according to this world, a pattern which we receive coming into the form of the flesh, according to the prince of the power of the air, molding the perceptions, satanizing the thinking. Satanizing the thinking. Now, we have the mind of Christ, so our thinking is not satanized, but is made holy. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works and speaks, it matures as the fruit of this iniquity in those which are lawless to God, which, of course, has no sanctification, no sanctified priesthood. They have no covering. They have no sanctified priesthood. So therefore, the sun is darkened, and gloominess is a testimony, okay, the absence of their sanctification. They have no sanctification, they have no priesthood. And also the denying of the stewardship, which has to do with the moon is going to turn to blood, as the color of blood, which shows that they crucified the steward of their salvation. and refuse the stewardship which God has ordained. And the stars of heaven will fall. Again, and also Satan, as a star of heaven fell. Okay, he's going to also, there'll be, the heavens will be cleansed again, okay, of the influences of darkness, making a path for the return of the Lord. Once the heavens are cleansed, then the millennial reign will begin after the heavens are cleansed. And so here he says the children of disobedience, okay, which has to do with the protesters. Okay, the protesters not being sanctified, but being unsanctified. They're unsanctified. They're not separated by God from the world, but rather they love the world. Okay, the sanctification only comes through the point of contact of holiness, where they set their, separate themselves from the world to God by the sanctified tokens. Those things which affirm and sustain that separation. And that's where he says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Okay, the Apostle Paul brings the same thing out in Corinthians. Okay, what Chief Elder John wrote in Revelation 18, okay, the Apostle Paul also reflects upon that, where Chief Elder John talks about the separation from the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots riding upon the scarlet-colored beast. She's clothed in scarlet, which has to do with the unsanctified priesthood. Riding upon the beast of scarlet, which shows also that the stewardship is unclean. Okay, it's not accepted of our Father. Okay, so here he calls it, says, the worker that now works in the children of disobedience. Okay, working all these things. And of course, he brings this out in a moment here. Among whom we also we all had our conversation. These were those which were our friends when we were not in covenant, because they were associating with our letter. A letter associates with another letter. And those which are as like nature, we gravitated towards. We see, we grouped with them. Ever since you went to school, okay, when you went to school, or even sometimes at workplaces, even in businesses and careers, groups gravitate together because of like interests. They gravitate together. They became a group. Okay, they do it with religion, or they do it with career, or they do it with sports. Okay, there's a gravitation. They of a letter gravitate together. Or as it also the old saying goes, they of a feather flock together. Among whom also we all had our conversation, he says here, conversation. So the false education, that was our charity. Okay, in other words, we rolled in the mud as a swine. And of course, we can see that Chief Elder Peter brings it out in 2 Peter 2:22. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Okay, we can see that these particular elements, okay, were brought out as concerning they stink and they also defile. They stink and they defile. The soul of the wicked gives off the odor of their tethering. The sinner gives off the odor of spoilage, something like spoiled milk or a rotten potato. Okay, a rotten potato really stinks. Or a carcass of an animal gives off the odor of death. Okay, and the soul of the wicked, their conversation gives off the odor of death. It's death unto death. It diminishes the capacity of the soul, and the soul collapses in on itself like a black hole. So God puts symbolisms of those things, even in the atmosphere or in the cosmos, okay, like a black hole. It collapses in on itself. The soul will collapse in on itself. But, of course, the Lord enlarges our heart by the tokens of his mercy. Okay, of course, we'll be talking more about that. But let's get back here. Conversation. We were in agreement with those things which by nature were corruptible things. And we set our sights and our perceptions accordingly. Even all religions of the world hold their own forms of corruption and give off their own odor, except the covenant of Jesus Christ, who gives off the odor of God. Not the odor, but the beautiful fragrance of the garden. The garden of the of paradise is also located, even that which is in the holy city. That's where the tree of life is, which also blossoms 12 different kinds of fruits in the seasons, which gives off a beautiful fragrance. And its fragrances, okay, will permeate everything in there. And its fragrances also will be, you can smell them even outside the holy city. Even as the children of Seth could smell the fragrance when the breeze would blow through the Garden of Eden, which is above them, it would bring the fragrances of the blossoming of the trees into them. And in fact, the fragrance of the garden permeated even to their bone. and they were called children of righteousness. That was a time of righteousness. The first week was a time of righteousness, okay, until Enoch was taken. And then from the time of righteousness, it went into a time of unrighteousness, where the fallen watchers reigned. Satan ruled the perceptions. Satan also entered into the perspectives of Adamites. The things which were provided from heaven, they pursued them for the things of the flesh. Okay, and the daughters of men went into the angels of God. Okay, and they produced giants. So we can see the uniting of these things, which is also premature. Okay, it was premature because during the seventh week, that would be sanctified. But in the first week, it was unsanctified. And they produced giants. These were children which were the cursed of God, which built monumental cities and metropolitan areas, large estates. The world was covered in cities before the flood of Noah came, and is covered in cities today. It's returned back to that state, to where the second consummation is about ready to happen. If the first consummation took place because the world was covered in cities and iniquity ruled, how much more now in these end times, where iniquity rules twofold, and the world is covered in the cities which are ruled by iniquity, which means the cities are ruled, okay, with war and famine and pestilence. So that was our conversation in times past, following these carnal impulses, and we allow death now. We allow death to starve the soul. But now we're looking for peace, which in our conversation times past, in the lesser of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind. You might want to highlight that, the flesh and the mind. These were the aspirations which we followed in order to settle the emotion, our emotions and frustrations. And at the same time, fulfilling the desires of flesh and the mind, we are also bearing deeper our guilt to shield our conscience instead of opening it up to His grace, because by grace we are saved. So highlight the word flesh and mind, the perceptions and the pursuits, the aspirations, which also produced emotional conflicts. The flesh and the mind pursuing these things produced emotional conflicts and frustration, because you could not move beyond that which is of the flesh. You couldn't move beyond that. And we felt these restrictions. But God has given us peace, though we're in the form of restriction. So that though we're in the form of restriction, we are sowing to those things which are eternal. And we receive eternal reward. Our treasures are in heaven. Okay, our treasures are in heaven, but we bear testimony to that in our soul now by the fruit of the Spirit. And he says here, which were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Okay, so we're bearing deeper our guilt to shield our conscience. Okay, instead of opening up to grace, and this is what we increased in. We increased in these things which were destructive. But now we're going to see what God is going to do here, and we're going to go back to chapter 1 here. But God, who is rich in mercy. So we're going to talk about that. God is rich in His mercy. Chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of understanding being enlightened. I'm reading that now. Chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of understanding being enlightened, we'll talk more about that in a moment, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. We know that the hope of our calling was not that which is corruption, but the hope of His calling is that which is incorruption, uncorruptible. That we may know, because this is what Paul brings out, that corruption cannot inherit incorruption. See, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He says, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. Okay, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible was put on incorruption. So that's what I'm pointing out here. The corruption was put on incorruption. And we're now putting on incorruption, which has to do with the covering the robes of fine linen, the light of Christ, covering the nakedness. Okay, which the nakedness he's talking about is concerning the condition of the soul. But our soul now is covered, so that we're accepted of Him. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Which means as to sprout His fruit and increase into a forest. We're going to sprout now into fruit, and from that fruit, we're going to increase into a forest. Now we can see these things here in Isaiah. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Isaiah 55. Put your marker here in Ephesians. And we're going to go over to Isaiah 55 here, which I'm turning over there right now. Now we're going to start around verse 8. Okay, where he says in verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, or his own logic, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Now that's what we're just reading about, His mercy. He's great in mercy, rich in His mercy toward us. and he will have mercy upon him, or us now, and to our God for your abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, okay, which means that being a selection of the stewardship he's talking about. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, how can we rectify that? How can our thoughts be his thoughts, and how can our ways be his ways? How can we walk on a prophetic path unless we are first taught what that prophetic path is? Well, of course, we know the prophetic path has to do with the establishment of the terms of this covenant through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by these things, now we have his thoughts. Now you have the mind of Christ. Now, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, which means it's not attainable by the flesh, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, verse 10, and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, it makes it bring forth and bud. Now, we talked about that. Makes it bring forth and bud. Okay, as we read there in Ephesians, concerning this inheritance, it brought forth and bud. It waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, from the sprout to the fruit to the forest. Then it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The substance is in the cycle of life. The substance of Christ is in our cycle of life, because he is our life. Okay, so that we have grace upon grace, faith upon faith, righteousness upon righteousness, and wisdom upon wisdom. Everything he's provided forth continually expands. It continually expands the soul. So shall my word be. Now here the Lord has given us a revelation to Isaiah, the prophet. So shall my word be. It's going to be just like this. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. This is where we receive his grace. Grace upon grace. It shall not return to me void, which means everything that has been sown within us is to be reciprocated in kind. It shall not return to me void. Now, the false religious system has nothing to return to our Father because they don't have the proper tokens. They have been washed in the knowledge of this baptism. Neither is that foundation laid within their heart. So what are they going to offer to the Lord? Okay, well, the only thing they can offer to him is their passion. And they call their passion their love, and they call that love God's charity, okay, which is feigned charity. Not only is their love feigned charity, but it's also feigned faith. It means it has the appearance of true religion, but it's will worship, okay, which means it's nothing more than expression of oneself. Okay, it's not the expression of Christ in your faith. Okay, it's the expression of just oneself. So therefore, it's made void. It's not acceptable. It has fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't bear his substance. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Now, of course, we read about that. Everything that is in existence at this present time is according to God's pleasure. For all things were created by him and for him, they are and were created for his pleasure. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I send it. I love that word, prosper. Okay, this is the same language of prospering that the chief elder John speaks about in 3 John 2. Okay, that you should prosper, even your soul prospers. Okay, which means is to increase value beyond its present stage. The truth that is laid within your heart, okay, is going to accomplish that which is beyond its present stage. A seed put in the soil prospers because it goes beyond its present stage. It doesn't stay there. It increases, and that's what Jesus brings out. Unless a corn of wheat dies, it remains alone. If it's planted, it dies. But if it's not planted, it remains independent. But when it's planted, it goes through a process of death and life. And his word within us goes through a process of death and life. It circumcises that which is bad, okay, and establishes and builds that which is good. We are renewed daily by this knowledge. So it shall prosper the thing whereunto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, even during the millennial reign. The mountains and the hill shall break forth before him to singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And that's supernatural, okay, which he also brings out in chapter 32, verse 15. It's supernatural. It's not in rhythm with nature. Okay, it's not in rhythm of normal routine. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We are the trees of the field. The mountain of the Lord is where we're established. And we will rejoice with what? With great fruit bearing. So instead of the thorn, he's going to reverse it. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. As also Prophet Zechariah brings out in Zechariah 1:8. And this shall be to the Lord for a name. This is a token of ownership. What he establishes within us is a seed of life. So what is he doing? He's establishing in us a token of ownership. We belong to him. And now are ye the sons of God, as Chief Elder John brings out. For an everlasting sign, so I like the word sign there, as a forest. A forest is a sign that something's been sown. A harvest is a sign of something that's been sown in the soil. A labor that looks like it's not prospering at all is invisible, okay, upon the completion of the sowing, but upon the completing of the season, it's evident that labor was present, as it will be in the great white throne judgment. That which is invisible now to the carnal eye, it will be openly made known on that great day when our Father openly displays us. The work within us is going to make the angels stand in awe, as well as also the sinners. They're going to stand in awe as our Father provides the contrast. This is what you could be. This is what he's going to bring out. You could also have received this because I have provided provision for you for this transition from darkness to light and from death unto life. But you refused it. You wanted to stand to your principle. You wanted to build with your own record. And so here he says, the tokens I provide for you is going to reverse that which was cursed. It's going to, now, when I reverse it, it's going to be for an everlasting sign. He says, everlasting sign. Okay, which means we will carry that tradition in other dimensions as gods. And this is what Jesus says. Haven't I said you are gods and the scripture cannot be broken? All Jesus is explaining to them, he calls them gods. Unto whom the word of God came. Who was it given to? Us. And he calls us gods, as the scriptures bear out in Psalms. He calls us gods. To whom the word of God came. And this is going to be an everlasting sign because we're going to carry on these traditions, which is equal to our Father's plan now. But it's going to go further beyond this. Okay, in other dimensions, larger and greater, and more expansed in the universe which we're presently in. Way beyond that. The universe which we're presently in comparison, is like a grain of sand. As a grain of sand, it's going to expand greater than that which is of the sun. Okay, it's going to expand that beyond the sun. And now it's going to expand beyond the sun to that which is a galaxy, from the galaxies now, into to the universe. That's the dimension. Okay, so that forevermore, the God code which is in us will continually provide substance and increase and increase and increase. It will never stop. So here we can see the Lord is going to remove the barriers of these desolations, which you also read about in Psalms 1:3, because we are the trees of planting by the rivers of water. So we're going to go from chapter 55 of Isaiah, just back a few chapters here, to Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. So you can highlight that. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. So here, the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing in Isaiah, is giving contrast again, concerning the Lord to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Now we see that, okay, in verse 6. Now, contrast to that, this was the curse that was put upon the flesh because of Adam's transgression. But Jesus came and he's reversed the curse. And he says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. That means those that are awakened to grace. Till the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, now his throne be joined, or join all souls to him. From on high, the throne, okay, and the wilderness be a fruitful field. Which means the forest of thorns and briars has now become that which is plowed, a plowed land and vineyards. Now you can see that in the illustration there, plowed land and vineyards. The labor of the sower. Now plowed lands and vineyards. Be a wilderness, be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. Yea, mature for useful things, from a seed to a forest during the reign of Christ. As it is now, so will it be. Now, at first it's invisible, then it's going to be visible. And that's what it was in our Father's bosom. From the invisible in our Father's bosom to the visible. Whereas everything that was previously designed eons and eons ago in our Father's bosom, from the invisible to the visible, we now come forth into being. Now, our Father is going to teach us these things. And he's teaching these things right now in the form of the invisible fruit. The invisible fruit that we can't see, but yet we can feel, and we can experience, and we can measure by, is going to be opened visibly as great treasures. And then he goes on, be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, because correction begins here to set order for the increase, okay, which, of course, this will bear Christ's standard. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in a fruitful field. That's of the soul. And the work of righteousness, And the work of righteousness here, which means the faith of the elect, shall be peace. You have peace with progress. Right now, the world does not have peace because it cannot progress. Because it doesn't have peace, it's warring for peace. It wants peace. It's speaking peace. It desires peace. It's protesting for peace. But it can't find peace. The wicked have no peace. But we have peace because we have tokens to provide the soul with for it to expand, because it was designed by our Father as his own image and likeness to expand. The work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance, which peace and security forever. There will be no more murmuring and doubt. Now we can see these things also brought in the writings of King David, okay, when he wrote Psalms. In Psalms chapter 1, which is a good chapter to memorize. In verse 3, it talks about that. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Who? The man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly, which means the fruitless ones. We're not following the thorns and the briars, the fruitless ones. Okay, we are following that which is fruitful. And this is what the scriptures bear out. You shall know them by their fruits, which means, what are they tethered to? If they're tethered to the true stewardship, then the fruitfulness will be within a knowledge and experience of the priesthood. But if they're tethered to the wrong tree, which has to do with the tree of death, you shall know them by their fruits, okay, which is self-assuming and independent. And you can say it's corrupting in itself. It is as a dried fig, which, of course, when the wind shakes, it falls, as a tree loses its figs when it's shaken by a violent wind. Revelation chapter 6 brings that out. It's shaken by a violent wind. And this is what the Lord is doing. The Spirit of the Lord is blowing throughout the earth. The hour of temptation is upon all the souls. That which is not established within him will be shaken from the tree. But that which is abiding in him, he will remain raptured. So you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in a season. And the season has to do with in your cycles. Your cycles. In due season you shall reap if you don't faint. Now, faint means you don't grow weak in your priesthood. Yes, right. Trials will beset the path that you're walking on. You're walking on the straight and narrow way, which is the path of this covenant. But the objects that will beset you, okay, are those things which were ingrained within you before you came into covenant, which is the temptations, okay, which has to do with yourself, Satan, and the world, that which you have to overcome. By the tokens of this covenant, by walking in covenant, reflect, rehearse, reciprocate. His leaf also shall not wither. The revelations will only increase and will not cease. Grace, if it ceases, you die. If the water is withheld, the trees will perish for lack of moisture. But we were created for the purpose of this connection, the tethering, divine tethering. So that God says, I want you to take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The tokens which I provide for your faith will be that which sustains you. It will sustain your soul, that you will not hunger and thirst after evil things, but rather you can continue to consume of my table. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. There's the word prosper again. Increase in value, space, and purpose. Okay, the prosper, decrease in value, space, and purpose, which has to do with that. We will prosper in our soul because it's increasing. All right, when increasing in volume, it's consuming space. Okay, when it increases in volume, it's in consuming space. It's like you're building a house on property, on a piece of property. From the foundation, from one foundation to another, you are consuming space. Like in the big city, the Big Apple, because there's no space there, instead of building outward, they build upward. It's consuming airspace. So you can see, as you're consuming this knowledge, the soul is expanding and consuming the space, which is in you, so that the Lord has to enlarge you. He has to enlarge the soul. Okay, so it's increasing in value, the true treasures, space, and its purpose. This as a forest. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 as you get your sacrifices ready here. Okay, we talk about that which is the rich forest. So we're no longer the children of wrath, even as others. Our fellowship with the world is growing sour. Even those which you previously knew, whether it be friends or relatives, those which you previously knew, the relationship that was there was built upon your letter. But if your letter changes, so does your record. So does a record. Hey, your record changed. Your letter changed. Your record changed. The imprint of Satan's graffiti upon your soul is fading and being erased, as by water and soap. as an example. Okay, a good example of that is like your washing machine, which takes certain elements, doesn't it? Okay, you put in the soiled clothes, but two elements are added, water and soap. Soap for the purpose and the agitation, okay, of the washer. You know, it turns around and around and around. The agitation is to work the soap into the laundry that's been soiled and to work out the stains in that. Now, it work out the stains, but also give it a pleasant smell. So it's going through a process of cleansing, as we also going through a process of cleansing of the agitation, but we're remaining focused, okay, upon this path. God, who is rich in mercy, I like the word rich in mercy, in verse 4 there. So he's increasing our soul. If he's increasing our soul, you're not the children of wrath. We are the children of mercy, because he's increasing our soul by these things which are rich. But God, who is rich in his mercy, so I like the word rich there, because this is what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints is. God, who is rich in mercy. Okay, so God issued another authority for power to expand our soul indefinitely, which means without end, for a marvelous inheritance for us in himself. But God, who is rich in his mercy for us, for his great love, so you have the word love there, is identifying God's charity, because he's governing our destiny by this fire charity. God is a consuming fire, and God is love. And we see in the false religious system that they want to emphasize the love of God, but not the fire of God. But God is a consuming fire. God is love. That's right. God is love. God is also a consuming fire, which means his charity purifies us. It purifies us as we cooperate, walk in agreement with him, or as we talk about congruence. Okay, we talked about that last few weeks, congruence. We're in agreement with him. Okay, we're walking in harmony with him. What he's provided for us shows a compatibility. We are fellow laborers with him, being equal to him, because we're complying to him, keeping his commandments. We're conforming to him, observing his ways. But God, who is rich in mercy, which has to do with his act and involvement. The word rich right there has to do with abundant value. We talk about what is the abundant value of these things, of all these tokens for your faith. What is the abundant value? What value does God put on it? Well, he puts great value upon it because it's himself. God is one that loves himself. He places great value on himself. And that's what we are charged to do too. Love God and love our neighbor as ourself. To place value upon fellowship, as well as also the relationship which we have with our Father. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, because this was the marvel inheritance for us in himself, which Christ was sent to us to do, to redeem us by this promise, which we talked about earlier in chapter 1, verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in the counsel of his own will. This is his great love. His great love wherewith he's loved us. Now let's look at verse 5 here. For even when we were dead, which means our imagination under iniquity now, it dulled our perceptions of reality. Can you imagine that? The imagination dulls your senses to reality. Because the imagination is a rich environment for iniquity to grow. The imagination is not to be used with faith. Not now. Because that's God is purifying us of that. So that when it comes to the baptism of light in the third covenant, our imagination now have been purified. Our faith is also pure. So that which is pure works with that which is pure. Unto the pure, all things are pure. As the Apostle Paul brings out there in Titus. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Why? Because even their mind and conscience is defiled. Okay, it's working with the wrong tokens. It's laboring with the wrong knowledge. It has the wrong perception. It's been taken captive by Satan. Satan takes the conscience of the wicked in his own chains. In the chains, the shackles of iniquity. For when we were dead in sins, okay, which means imagination was dull our perceptions of this reality in our own letter, God gave to us now an anointing. Okay, he has quickened us together. So God gave us an anointing. This was to bond us by this knowledge, to bond us to his word, and also to open our eyes, which he also speaks about in chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding. So we see a definition of grace there, the eyes of understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. We see that in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 1. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's grace. And this is what we're saved by. By grace you are saved. Revelation 17 and 18. By grace you are saved. Because by this power the soul is preserved. So Jesus gave himself for our covenant That's to purify our soul as his own soul, which we see in 1:18. That purifies us, even as he is pure, as also Sheepfeller John brings up. So we see the purification process. He has redeemed us through his blood. Now let's go here to verse 6. And has raised us up together. We were dead in our sins, but now raised us up together. So we see a transition taking place from lowness to greatness, from that which is beneath the soil to that which is above the soil. Raise us up together. He's awakened our hearts out of this trance of Satan. We walked ignorantly in our time past, when our conversation in time past was a communication of our own record, which we would boast of. We would compare our record with other people's records in order to find value, okay, in order to find some kind of a scale. And when we were sinners, we use other people as a scale of our own increase. We would measure ourselves. When we are first grade, we measure our progress by those in second grade. When we are second grade, we measure our progress by those which are in third grade. So when we were in high school, we measure ourselves by those, of course, which graduated, okay, or went on to college or university. That's the kingdom of the world. Okay, we measure ourselves among ourselves. And the scriptures bear that out. Those that practice such things on the scale of self are not wise people, because they're looped to their own ignorance. They're measuring one kingdom to another kingdom of the same kingdom, darkness. So as races up together, we have another scale, and God has provided a scale. Moses was a scale for the children of Israel. So the stewardship provides a scale because it's providing the knowledge. It doesn't replace God. God uses that scale because it's a scale that's physical. He is physical within a human form. And in human form is able to identify with that. So we follow Christ to the stewardship. And so be you followers of me, as Paul said, even as I am also of Christ. So we can see that the Lord uses the stewardship as a refuge and a scale for the purpose of discernment, increasing in knowledge, expanding the soul, and healing the heart. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. And the word sit there means entering the Sabbath man, our rest. We cease to labor with the works of the flesh, to work and to labor with the things of the Spirit, and has raised us up together. So he's awakened our hearts from this trance and made us sit together to enter his rest in the bosom. Things not marked by time or the allegorisms of this world. The things which are linear, which we brought out earlier and last week, has to do with the things which is marked by things which are linear, the allegorisms of the flesh, which I just brought out earlier. But now we're in Christ, and everything we measure is by all those tokens, the allegorism of his throne. Okay, and his race is up together and made us sit together, our rest, in heavenly places. I like the word heavenly places there. It's not marked by time, but by the eternal light as kings and priests. Okay, and I'm going to read that quickly out of Revelation. We've got about a minute left here. So in Revelation 1:6, hey, it says right here, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, which means there's consistency. He is the one that's consistent. A faithful witness being a consistent, living, present power. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. He's a prototype, accepting himself by separating us from these waters to himself by adopting us with his fire to fulfill this promise. Unto him that loved us and blessed us with all the spiritual blessings. He loved us and washed us, same language here, which the Apostle Paul uses, from all sins, and in his blood has made us kings and priests. Verse 6 here. That is by his covenant, he's birthing in us a royal seed. Chief Elder Peter brings it out. He's reflecting upon what Chief Elder John spoke about, as the Apostle Paul also pens his letters. In the same reflection, speaking the same thing. Made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. You can see the cycle here. God and Father. That is of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The eternal fruit, okay, of our spiritual warfare now and also ever increasing his house. As he also brings out in Revelation chapter 5. So I'll turn over there to Revelation chapter, or I'm going to turn over there. And here he says he sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you are slain and redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tongue, people, and nation, and have made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. There it is again, kings and priests. Okay, we see that in number 7 and 10, okay, or the 10 and 7. For completion and your perfection. This is for your completion, your perfection. Now, which also you will be as a pillar or as a palm tree, okay, on the curtains of God. Now I'm going back quickly to Ephesians. And it says here, has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We see in Christ Jesus, he's identifying a priesthood for your rest. Then the ages to come. Now he's talking about the riches again. Then the ages to come as a dispensation of fullness of times, 1:10. Then the ages to come, he might show, and that is to manifest us in his Father's bosom, from the bosom to the bosom. We came out from our Father, and we return to our Father. We return to him, we return with increase, which pleases our Father. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And all of us, being overcomers, receive the overcomer's inheritance, okay, as well as also the giftings. Giftings concerning the things which we bear in us in our obedience. So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The riches of his grace here, the unlimited and abounding power. The power tokens. The power tokens that bind us to him, to experience his divine nature. So we're taking on the divine nature by the divine power. Then in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. See, the word exceeding right there has to do with, it's not stale. Okay, it's not stagnant. Okay, it's not corrupting. It's progressing. It's mobile in his life. Okay, exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Kindness, because this is his divine nature. We're taking on that same divine nature, adding to our faith this virtue, and the virtue of this knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity, from faith to charity. In other words, charity, again, is a distributing power, okay, of all these other virtues that are born within us as we continue to express Christ in the assembly. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to give the mic over now to the one that will be reading your sacrifices, and I'll be closing in prayer.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you want to come in covenant with God. And well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.